Science. Learning. Business. Community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And in this week's episode, we're going to talk all about the curse of the imposter syndrome. Now, how many of you, and I'm guessing it's lots of you, I've got to a place where you've been given a job to do something, or you've decided you want to do something, especially if you're going out and doing your own business or a project that's all on your own some. And you get so far in, and then you get this little nagging voice at the back of your head going, you know, maybe you're not good enough to do this, or why are you doing this? Because it might not work, you know. And gradually, you let that nagging doubt hold you back. It makes you stop taking action because you got to the point where you just simply feel inadequate in dealing with a particular solution. That is a well-known psychological schism that occurs within us, and it's called imposter syndrome. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about what it is, why it is, and how to deal with it. So let's begin really by discussing what imposter syndrome is. It's a term that was first coined in the 1970s by psychologists Dr. Pauline Clance and Dr. Suzanne Imes. Now, imposter syndrome basically refers to an internal feeling of fraudulence despite evidence of success. And that's why it's so cruel. And it is a curse. You can have as much success behind you as you have achieved, and then this one piece of work or this one project or this one aspect of setting up your business, you suddenly get that nagging doubt that says, are you really competent enough to be doing this? And it can destroy everything. Even worse, you can achieve the success, but people experiencing imposter syndrome then start to feel that they don't deserve to have that success. They attribute it to luck, or to good timing, just, you know, lucky timing. And it really is something that can be completely soul-destroying, and this is why it's important that we talk about it. How do you spot imposter syndrome? Well, there's a couple of traits that start to develop with people that are struggling with imposter syndrome. First of all is that, we've mentioned it before in the progress, choose progress over perfection, is perfectionism. This is setting excessively high goals and feeling like a failure when they're not met. Another one is overworking, spending more time on tasks that are necessary, but you're driven by fear of being found out. You're not consciously thinking this. This is all in your subconscious mind. Undermining. So you're undermining your own achievements. You might say, I was just lucky, or anyone could have done it. Even when you've worked hard for it, you do that. And it's just, again, comes back to this whole idea of somewhere in your soul, you just don't think you deserve it, or you're not good enough to do it. Fear of failure, avoiding new challenges or opportunities due to fear of not meeting expectations. All these are signs that you're struggling somewhere in your psyche with this whole idea of imposter syndrome. So if any of those sound familiar, then stick around, because I am going to give you some strategies to help overcome imposter syndrome within this episode. So don't panic, is the way to put it. But why do we feel this kind of imposter syndrome, this curse that comes upon us? Why do we feel it? And most especially in a business setting, if you're running your own business, you will definitely at some point feel that you're this imposter syndrome. You might not have been able to give it a term before, but you'll feel that self-doubt suddenly creep in and start to get in the way of you doing activities that you know really you need to do. Well, there are several psychological factors involved in this. The first one is early dynamics. Many times, family expectations can play a role, a significant role, in how our imposter syndrome can hide and then grow within us. So this is where, if you grew up in an environment where achievements were highly valued, or you were always compared to high-achieving siblings, you might actually come to internalize the belief that you're only as good as your last success. And this can create, over time, a chronic sense of inadequacy. The second area is personal traits. Traits such as anxiety, neuroticism, perfectionism. These are often linked to imposter syndrome. So high achievers, those who are accustomed to excelling, are particularly vulnerable to this. Because their self-worth, or your self-worth, if you're a high achiever listening to this, it's typically wrapped up in the ability to achieve, which makes you prone to feeling that you're not good enough when you perceive any kind of shortfall. Another one is social comparison. In the business world, comparison is almost inevitable, but constantly measuring your success against the accomplishments of others can really increase those feelings of inadequacy. It reinforces it, in other words. Social media and professional networking groups in certain professions may actually add additional pressure on you because they showcase only the highlights of other people's careers, not the fact that they have, you know, failed many times to get where they are, to have that eventual success. And that can lead to unfair comparisons about your own journey so far. Another factor at play are cultural and societal pressures. So societal norms and cultural expectations often contribute to imposter syndrome. For example, underrepresented groups in certain professions may also feel that additional pressure to prove their worth. And this magnifies the feelings of not belonging, which then becomes a feeling of being an imposter subconsciously. You don't sit there and you think consciously, I don't deserve to be sat amongst this group because I'm an imposter. But you may feel, I don't feel like I belong in this group. It's the same thing. You just don't use the word imposter consciously. There are also cognitive distortions at play. So these are irrational thoughts that often influence our thinking. And they are basically all or nothing kinds of thinking. That's what it gets you to engage in. So you overgeneralize, you discount the positives. It makes you believe that you're only successful because of external factors and not your own skills. So you actually put your own skills down. And the more you put your own skills down, then obviously the more difficult it becomes to move forward in any given situation, especially if it's in a business context where you're running your own business, or you're running a department, or you're promoted to sales manager in a store. All these things can be there in the back of our head and we don't even know it, undermining what we're trying to achieve. And then finally, you've got this sense of setting very high standards and self-expectations. So this is where you setting unrealistically high expectations about what you can do and what you should be doing and how to get it and what counts as success. So when you fail short, which is inevitable because you've set such an impossibly high standard or target, you perceive yourself as failures, and this reinforces that sense of being an imposter really dramatically. And again, it stops you then from taking further action later on. Now, understanding these factors basically helps us recognize that imposter syndrome is a common psychological experience and it is not a reflection of our own true abilities. So how does imposter syndrome then affect our success over time? The effect of it can actually be quite profound and far-reaching. So first of all, you can have stunted growth and development. When you constantly doubt your abilities, you may avoid taking on new challenges or stepping out of your comfort zone. And this limits your opportunities then to grow, to develop your skills. Career advancement gets severely affected. And if you're running your own business, you may find you actually start to self-sabotage a little because you don't feel that you're capable of doing the job, so you don't do the job. You can experience burnout because overworking to prove your worth can lead to chronic stress and burnout. This relentless pursuit of perfection and fear of being found out can take a significant toll on your mental and physical health, and this ultimately undermines your productivity and creativity. It can undermine relationships Imposter syndrome can also strain your professional relationships in that you have this constant doubt and fear of exposure, and it leads you to difficulties in trusting colleagues or seeking feedback or collaborating effectively. These are critical success factors for any business or any piece of work. And if you're unable to do that because you're afraid of the outcome, then you're not going to do it, and it's going to actually hold up your productivity levels considerably. It lowers confidence. So repeatedly questioning your abilities erodes that self-confidence that you might have, especially you set out on a new business in particular and you're full of viz and verve and you really want to get on. And then your self-confidence starts to take a little bit of a hammering because that little nagging voice is there in the back of your head saying, but are you good enough? You hear what I'm saying? And I'm guessing that most of the people listening to this ThinkWorks episode are in that category. If you lose your confidence over time, then this lack of self-assurance, it just prevents you from advocating for yourself, negotiating fair compensation or pursuing leadership goals. It's all there. It all gets pulled back because of that little nagging voice. And finally, the fear of not being good enough can result in missed opportunities. Whether it's avoiding public speaking, declining promotions, not networking, these missed chances can significantly impact your career trajectory. And I'm particularly guilty of this last one because of my condition, the FND. Go and listen to the episode of When Your Brain Betrays You. I've not been to networking meetings for quite some time. It's on my list of things to get back to doing because I know I need to do it. It will be outside my comfort zone. And one of the reasons why I've not done it is because I've had this fear that I'll be judged because of my condition, that I'm not able to do what I want to do, or I'm not able to do the kind of projects I will be projecting during that networking meeting. Now, I've analysed all this. I didn't know that that was the reason, but while I was preparing for this episode, I started to look at how some of these were reflections of some of the feelings I was having, and then I suddenly realised I haven't been to networking meetings because I don't want to explain what my condition is. I feel embarrassed about it, and I don't want people judging me because of my condition, which is absolutely stupid. It's so irrational. And if people do judge me because of my condition, then that's on them, because I'm still determined that I'm going to make my business a success. So I have to get over that hurdle. And trust me, networking is one of the main reasons for any small business success. Just get out there and get your ID and your profile raised. So we've said what it is, how it is, and how it affects you. How then can you deal with it? Because here's the good news, folks. You can deal with imposter syndrome. I'm going to give you a couple of hacks now to go about dealing with that. So first you need to do what I did. You need to acknowledge your feelings. You need to recognize and accept that you are experiencing imposter syndrome in an area. And awareness is the first step to overcoming it. Secondly, talk about it. Share your feelings with trusted friends, families or mentors. Your kitchen cabinet is a great place to do a sound off about this, because you'll find that other members of your kitchen cabinet may also have those kind of feelings, and it's good to get it out in the open and all talk about it, and then you can all see that you're actually having a shared experience that is holding you all back. And if you want to know more about the kitchen cabinet, don't forget I've done an episode of ThinkWorks on choosing the right kitchen cabinet earlier on, so go and check that out as well. Thirdly, reframe your thoughts. So challenge that negative self-talk and reframe it into positive affirmations. Instead of thinking, I don't deserve this, for example, try, I earned this through hard work and dedication. Now, you don't just do, I earned this through dedication and hard work. No, say it with passion, with meaning, with feeling. Get it so that you know in your gut, you do deserve this. It's on you that you've succeeded. Yes, you may have had some great contacts. You may have done some great work at just the right time. But at the end of the day, you were the one who put yourself in the position to know those contacts. You were the one who actually did the timing, chose the timing to do this piece of work at the right time. So give yourself that acknowledgement. A critical one for me, and something I've really come to understand over the last year, is you must reward yourself for your steps forward, for every time you achieve a step towards a goal. Don't wait till you get to the goal itself. Reward yourself for every step along the way. And this is where The Art of Journaling, another podcast that I did, you see how all these are starting to now come together. So The Art of Journaling is really important here because you can really keep a track of just how far you've come, how much progress you have made over time. And you can look back then and see, oh, I started from here, I'm currently here, I've achieved this really big step today, I'm going to give myself a treat. I'm going to buy that box set that I've always wanted. I'm going to go and have a really nice cup of coffee at that really expensive coffee shop down the road. It doesn't matter what the reward is. Give yourself a reward that actually reinforces in your brain that you are making progress. Progress is king. 5, always seek feedback. Ask for constructive criticism from colleagues or superiors, and this can help you understand your strengths and areas for improvement. It also provides validation should you need it from an external source. 6, set realistic goals. Break down the larger tasks into smaller, more manageable goals. This just helps you feel that you're more in control and it reduces that feeling of being overwhelmed. 7, key one again, embrace lifelong learning. You must be in a position where at the end of each day where you ask yourself, what did I learn today? If you didn't learn anything, if the answer is nothing, grab an encyclopedia, open it up at random at a page and read what something is. Or what the meaning of something is. It doesn't matter, but just get into the habit of cultivating this idea that you are on a lifelong journey of learning. I'm not talking about education, I'm talking about learning. There is a difference. I've got a podcast coming up very soon, which will start to discuss the difference between learning and education and why we've got the wrong education model in this country because we're factoring out the love of learning. There is a correlation between the drive to educate and the lack of productivity over the last few generations. I'll explain all about that in that episode. In the meantime, coming back to today, if you do embrace lifelong learning, it means that you embrace opportunities to continually grow and improve your skills without feeling that you have to be perfect. 8, avoid comparisons. Focus on your own progress rather than comparing yourself to others. You only have to be better than you were yesterday. That is the key thing here. Yes, it's good to sometimes model what others are doing, model what others are achieving to help you achieve what you want to achieve, but don't do a direct comparison. Always remember that social media and networking meetings often only showcase the successes that someone has had, not their missteps along the way. 9, practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself during setbacks, because there will be setbacks. Everyone has them, no matter how brilliant you think someone is. Trust me, somewhere along the way, they made a howler of a mistake, or they've got something wrong, they've made a misstep, but their ability to then correct it and keep moving forward is why you perceive them to be ultra successful and you're not. It's only because you're letting your limiting beliefs hold you back. It's the only difference. So be kind to yourself. Understand that making mistakes and facing challenges are part of the growth process, and they do not in themselves define your worth. 10, visualize success. Spend time visualizing your success and the positive outcomes of all your efforts. This will help you build that confidence, and it will also reinforce that positive self-image. It's so important that you maintain that belief that you can do this. You do have the skills. You do have the experience. If you don't have the skills, you have got enough within you to go and learn those skills. And if you don't have that experience, the fact that you are then going to tackle this particular piece of work will give you that experience for the future. And that's how you look at it. Never ever let the feeling that you haven't got the skill set or the experience set to do a particular piece of work or take on a particular role or to push through and grow your business. Never let that feeling hold you back. We all have the capability to go and learn new skills. And the very act of then doing that piece of work gives you that experience for moving forward and in other situations in the future, you can then look back and say, I've already done that. That is my experience base. Let's do it. It's just all this positive feedback loop that creates on the back of that. By implementing a combination of those 10 strategies, it'll get you where you need to be. You could just choose one and be really good at just using that one tactic to keep you moving forward. But I would actually highly recommend that you choose a combination of three or four of them to really help you combat any feeling of inadequacy or any feeling of doubt that you have about your ability to do a particular job or perform in a particular role. The key thing to remember is that everybody faces self-doubt at some point in their lives. Absolutely everybody. It doesn't matter how successful they are today, they will have at some point experienced self-doubt. But it doesn't have to dictate your actions or define your self-worth. By acknowledging that you have this imposter syndrome and implementing the strategies that we've talked about, you can reclaim that confidence that you need and you can build yourself back. Even if you have made a howl of a mistake in the past, you can still build yourself back. Now, oddly enough, that's the title of my new book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, which gives a whole list, a comprehensive list of strategies and ideas for you to consider, whether you are, it's in your a personal context, whether it's in a professional context, whether it's you're starting out in a new business, whether it's you're a manager inside a larger organization. There are going to be tactics within that book that will help you properly get to grips of who you are and how you can use who you are to become that success that you know you deserve to have. The book will be out in August. Keep watching for announcements on that on darreninform.com. There's also a post for you to follow and comment about this particular episode of ThinkWorks as well. If you go to darreninform.com/ThinkWorks Forum, you'll see there's a post for this episode. And you can just join in then with your own ideas and suggestions about how to deal with imposter syndrome or even ask questions. And I will answer them for you and we'll get a discussion hopefully going about how to deal with imposter syndrome going forward, because it is a blight on so many people's lives because they don't know what it is or why it is and therefore it holds them back. Hopefully this episode you may have recognized some of these traits within yourself, or you may know someone who has these traits and you can actually direct them to this episode to listen to so they can actually consciously become aware of what imposter syndrome is and how it's affecting them. In the meantime, everyone, please stay safe. It's a crazy world out there. I'll be back next Monday with another episode of ThinkWorks. Until then, take it easy.
Like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.